Hey everyone, you're listening to Jotos y Recuerdos, a queer podcast about the LGBTQ community in the Rio Grande Valley. Today I'm interviewing Elizabeth Michelle Salinas, who I grew up with, and we're at the McAllen Library now. Michelle, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, what's up? Everybody knows me as Michelle. I grew up here in McAllen. A lot of you all know me from PBDs.
Yes. So before we go into your backstory and all of that, I just wanted you to tell me a little bit about yourself in terms of how do you identify in terms of sexuality and race?
I identify myself as more like a soft butch, not really too butch, but, and my race, Hispanic, Mexican.
You got that cholo, chola aesthetic with your rosary and your shirt.
Got to represent.
I love it. And tus gafas, like tu barrio te respalda.
But of course, my looks.
You said you grew up in McAllen, right? Yes. Did you come out when you were in high school in McAllen?
I came out first to my mom.
Okay.
A lot of the people in school kind of already knew that I was gay because I would walk with a blue backpack with the rainbow stickers, gay pride tag. All over my backpack, I would tag gay pride.
Oh, nice.
So a lot of people knew I was gay, and everybody knew who I was, especially the reputation I had. So it was hard.
And so you came out when you were in high school to your mom?
To my mom, which kind of knew.
And what was that like?
Yeah, it was hard in the beginning, but after a while, she was okay with it.
And is there other, like, queer people or gay people in your life that sort of made you feel like you could come out, too, because they were gay, too?
Oh, well, I have my aunt who's gay. Mm-hmm. I have my little sister who's gay. My other little sister from my dad's side is gay. My cousin is gay. He's straight out blunt, and he does drag.
Nice.
So there's my best friend is gay. A lot of us are gay.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of friends that are gay.
I love it. When you were in high school, was there a gay community present?
And there was a club, Hubs, but really not that much. Like, it had just started because the fact of one guy who dressed like a girl, and they had a lot of problems with him in school, so I would defend him. I would have to walk him to the restrooms because they didn't want him in the girls' restrooms. They didn't want him to the guys' restrooms. They want him just to use the restroom in the nurse's office or somewhere else. So, and that's how a lot of people knew who I was. Like,
because you would sort of, you know, be proud and then defend the people around you. And so that's that was how it was in high school. But would you go out to clubs when you were in high school?
Where
would
you go? When I was a minor.
Where would you go?
I would go a lot to 10th Avenue. I was a minor.
Okay.
So, yeah. 10th Avenue was a lot. Mexico, I would go a lot across the border.
Okay.
Oceans and all that. I would be over there. I went out. Where else did I go? Barcode. Different clubs here and there.
Okay. So let's talk about each one. So 10th Avenue. What was 10th Avenue like when you went?
10th Avenue was awesome. Especially with Misty Duval. She gave a hell of a show. I liked it. I was young. I was drinking. I was always partying. So, but it was awesome. Something different. That's where I really got to see a lot of the way they perform and got to meet them and really got to know them. That's where I met Betty Crocker, and she then gave me a lap dance and scared the shit out of me. It was crazy.
What kind of music would they play?
And they played a lot of different music. They would play from reggaeton to Tejano. A certain time they would play Tejano, and then they would play rap music, a lot of everything. So,
and how did you feel when you were in there?
Great. I felt good with the people that that's comfortable with. Because if you really go to any straight club here, it's pretty hard. Because I've gotten jumped before at straight clubs.
Oh, that's horrible.
So it's different.
So it's like a place where you feel safe. And
you can feel more comfortable going out at a gay bar where gay people more are at than it is anywhere else.
Okay. So I know that you met my mom at 10th Avenue. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
It was funny. I was there with my best friend and some friends. We were there hanging out. And there was a guy trying to ask her out or to go dancing, and she was just trying to get away from him. And it so happened that I was sitting on the edge, and she saw me, and she had asked me, hey, you want to go dance? I'm like, yeah, sure. She was pretty, why not? So let's go. And from there on, we became very good friends.
Nice.
She did a lot to help me change in my life.
Yeah.
I appreciate her for that.
You're very important to me and to my family. I've known you since I was like 7 years old. And to me, you were just like a tía, you know, and it's been really nice to still have you in my life. Okay, so that's 10th Avenue. That's where you met my mom, all that. What about, you said you also went to Mexico. What was it like in Mexico?
It was a lot different. Parties were way longer, like 6, 7 in the morning.
Okay.
We would leave from one bar and hop over to Mexico, and we would keep on partying all night over there, and then we would go eat. And it was different. Ocean life was the bomb.
Yeah.
A lot of different stuff, but it was nice. I liked it.
Was it a gay bar, or did they have just
Oceans was a gay bar.
Okay. And what was that like? Like, what music did they play?
They played a lot more, like, Spanish music. Mm-hmm. Reggaeton music also, but
yeah,
it was a lot more different. I liked the music more over there.
Was there drag shows over there, too?
I'm not sure, because we would get there late.
So. Okay. It was just, like, raza and... Yeah. Okay.
Hanging out with friends after party.
Okay. Nice. So. I know my tia, my mom's sister, all would go to Mexico to party too when she was younger.
Yeah.
And she's also gay, so I wonder if she went there too.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, Ocean, okay, and what about Barcode? What was Barcode like?
Barcode was good. Mm-hmm. It was owned by Catherine and mm-hmm. all of them. Ed, her husband, or who passed away. I knew him also. He was very nice. It was nice. That's where I saw I kept on running into your mom.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah. We would hang out there a lot. It uh-huh. was something different. The only thing I didn't like, it was small. And that's the thing about here. The gay bars aren't as big as other places.
Okay.
And they have to be, like, very hidden because you don't know what's going to happen
mm-hmm.
through those gay bars. Like, where I used to work at, they would shoot it up with paintball guns. It's a lot of difficulties that we go through in times.
Yeah. So where you used to work before was PBDs, right?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about what it was like and how long you worked there for.
It was nice. I've always wanted to bartend.
Mm-hmm.
And it so happened that they would go eat a lot at the restaurant where I used to work at with my mom, at Country Pancake House.
Oh, I remember. We would go get pancakes.
Yes.
I remember that.
And I would
that.
Take you all pancakes at night, too.
Yeah, so. I remember that.
And so they would always go over there after the club to go eat, and they happened to need someone to work. And my mom knew I've always wanted to be a bartender. So he's all like, Adam, he's a very good friend. He told me, hey, you want, go ahead and go in, and I'll talk to you at the club, all right. And I got to know Adam, and I started working there within December. As soon as I turned 21, and as soon as I graduated from high school, I was working at PBDs.
Okay.
So.
And what was it like when you first started working there? That was in 2001, right?
I started in December. It was nice. I got to meet a lot of good people. I have a lot of good customers that were loyal to me. I made a lot of money there.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I would dance and have fun with a lot of people.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I gotta do. So
yeah.
I saw Betty there again. And like she would so in love with me. She would try to grab me every which way. I met a lot of drag queens there. I met mm-hmm. a lot of good people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people with money that you wouldn't believe that go there.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah. And what music did they have there? What kind of music did they have?
PPDs would play a lot of good music, like reggaeton. Mm-hmm. After a certain time, they would start playing Tejano music because not a lot of gay clubs play Tejano music.
Mm-hmm.
So they do play Tejano music there at PPDs, and you'll see how surprising everybody jumps up to go dance Tejano music, guapango,
mm-hmm.
and all that. So it was nice. And when I used to work there, PBDs was packed. Almost 300 people would be there. And our capacity was like 120-some people.
Wow.
So I would work the whole floor. I was a bar back / waitress, cocktail waitress. I would help them out, serve, pick up, have everything nice and clean there. It was always packed there.
Yeah. That's so crazy that there are so many people that would go.
And it would be packed there. Usually it would be packed Tuesdays through Sunday.
Wow. So you started working there in 2001. You were there for 13 years. Did you notice a change throughout that time that you were there in terms of the people that came in, the music?
The people never change. Yes, people go, but they go to better their careers, but then they still come back and stop by, and they've noticed that it's never changed, PBDs.
Yeah.
PBDs has been the longest gay club there, like 30-some mm-hmm. years already.
Uh-huh.
It's like grandfathered in, so no yeah. matter what they try to do, they wouldn't do much to it because it's been there for so long. I go in, you've seen a lot of new faces. You know when they're new. Mm-hmm. I would be always very welcoming. Hey, if you need anything, mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm Michelle. I waitress. I can help you out. Mm-hmm. You have any problems, let me know. Mm-hmm. I'll take care of it. Like, it was very awesome.
And so when you left in 2014, you would say that the vibe was there still very mm-hmm. much the same?
Yeah. And yeah. the vibe's still the same. Just a lot of different faces. Mm-hmm. A lot of my customers don't go there no more.
They were loyal to you.
Yeah, so they miss me.
So earlier you were talking about the struggles, right? Like how you all would get shot up with paintballs. What else? What other kind of struggles did you come across there?
At the bar, well, there would be people that would go just to go see what it is, and some people like would be so judgmental sometimes, and it would be hard. So, and what else do we have there? They've gone and tagged the place up, and we've painted over it.
Yeah.
But it everywhere, anywhere in general, is hard to begin with.
Yeah.
So.
And what about the good stuff? What were the really fun and happy parts of being there?
The fun part for me was getting to meet a lot of new people, a lot of faces. Everybody knows me. I'm well known around. So that's a good thing. I got to know a lot of people, and it helps. It comes in handy later on in life. And the environment was mm-hmm. nice. The people that work there, like Adam, he's been there for a long time. He's one of the longest bartenders. Mm-hmm. He's very awesome. He's a very good manager. You have Boncho, who's also worked there the longest. He's mm-hmm. very good. One of the old coworkers that used to work there, Tomas, he mm-hmm. no longer works there, but he was also awesome. And then we had one of our DJ Gerardos, one of our other DJs who passed away, DJ Radical, was also awesome.
Yeah, to a lot of family. You know what I think is interesting is that I've gone to queer parties or like queer bars in New York or just in different parts of the world, but I'm yet to find a queer bar that plays Tejano music. And I know that for my mom, that was so present, right? She would go dancing with my dad, 10th Avenue. You're saying that they would play reggaeton and all, or like, you know, Tejano music at PBDs. And I think that speaks to what our community is like, right? Like, we're Mexican and gay, and that is important to us. And I wish that there was something like that everywhere so that I could enjoy it, because that's just like I look at pictures of my mom and my dad, and they would have like the cowboy hats and the boots, and it was in these gay bars, and I just think that's so cool and interesting.
Yes.
Would you dance to that too?
Sometimes. I like it. It's good.
Tengo la pata chueca. I can't really dance to it.
I like it. I once said if I ever open a bar, that's one thing for sure. I would come in to probably name it The Other Side. No. Make one night Tejano night, one night just reggaeton, one night just rap, mm-hmm. one night female strippers, one night male strippers. Get it a little mix of everything.
Yeah.
And a bigger place, because how I lived in the bar life, and mm-hmm. I know what it is mm-hmm. and what it needs, mm-hmm. I would probably be able to succeed.
Yeah. So. Do you miss working at PBDs?
Yes.
I miss
it a lot.
What do you miss about it?
The people, mm-hmm. the coworkers, all the friends that I made.
Yeah.
I miss it a lot. It was just hard for me after being smoking there so long. It just got affecting me more. So I needed to take care of my health. Now that it's not smoking, I've thought of going back. But then it's like, I already worked two jobs. So I don't want to work another job.
Yeah. What is the gay community like now? Like, what have you noticed it's like now versus when you were younger or like even when you were at PBDs?
Well, younger because a lot of people before, it wasn't really that open yet. compared mm-hmm. to it is now. So anywhere you see now, you see a lot of gay people anywhere or anything, any career, anything. But before it was like very judgmental. Like I couldn't even walk into the store. They would be like looking at me up and down, and you could see them just wanting to talk shit or say something when mm-hmm. it's like seriously, or they were thinking, oh, are you a boy or a girl? I would always get that asked that question all the time, and mm-hmm. it's like it's different, and I'm glad that it's more open yeah. than it was before. So
and so now do you get, you don't really get those looks when you go visit?
I still do, but I just don't let it get to me.
So it's slightly different. You talked a little bit about, you know, what it was like, the hard times and the good times in the club. But what about like in the outside? I mean, you're saying now, like sometimes you would get looks, right? But has there been any other instances? I mean, you also have kids, right? So you're mm-hmm. a gay parent. What, like, what has that been like?
It's good. It's hard to first introduce them to them. Mm-hmm. But lately now, there's a lot more books that will help you introduce them to the kids. Mm-hmm. What it is to have two moms or two mm-hmm. dads or mm-hmm. this or that. Before, there wasn't none of that. And it was hard, but all we could do is try to, they were young, so they kind of didn't know. But now when they get older and they understand, they kind of know a little bit more about it and mm-hmm. how it works and how hard it is. So I like, yeah. I love being a parent.
You're a really good parent. How old are your kids now?
I have, for my ex, I have two. They're, one of them's 12. The other one's 7. Mm-hmm. And then when I got married, I ended up getting 3 more. Oh. One of them's 7. He's a boy. One of them's 18. And I just had my first grandson not like a week ago. Oh. I'm going to be the godmother. Oh. And the other one is 16, going okay. on 17.
So 5 kids.
Yeah.
So, you raised your kids, obviously. Did people ever tell you anything?
No. And they would just look at me and see, like, and I felt uncomfortable sometimes even around my family, like, because mm-hmm. how, like, my cousins would introduce their boyfriends or their kids, like, I would ask them, are you okay that they're around me? I don't want you to say, oh, she's gay or this. I would feel uncomfortable. I'm like, you know, I'm gay. I like girls, just letting you know. So I wouldn't want them to feel there or start some kind of things. And, like, with my kids, I never wanted them to call me mom or dad. They could call me whatever they want. They could call Michelle. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm still going to love them no matter what. Mm-hmm. My daughters call me the other parent. Mm-hmm. The other ones call Michelle.
But they know that you are their parent, and that's important.
Yeah.
I understand and totally felt that. When I was younger, I remember when I'd have friends come over, I used to warn them and be like, by the way, my mom is gay. And they would look at me like, okay, whatever. Like, they didn't care. But I had this, I guess just, like, this internal fear that I had to warn people, you know. As I got older, I'm like, fuck that. Like, I don't give a fuck, you know. But when I was younger, I think I was made to feel a little bit ashamed. And, like, I had to, like, be like, by the way.
Oh, yeah, my kids do that, too. They do wait until the last minute when they're already going to walk in the house. I'm like, what is there scared of? Like, they're mm-hmm. probably scared that they're going to get judged.
Right.
Or they're going to be picked on or get bullied on. That's probably what scares them to even say anything. But it shouldn't scare them. Like, it's more different now compared to it was before.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, well, growing up, my mom always had, like, gay friends and family members like you know. And it was just okay and normal. But then the people that I went to school with, I mean, they ended up coming out as gay later in life. But at the time, I didn't know, you know.
They were in denial.
Yeah. it's just really, I understand. Honestly, the best kids have the gay parents. That's what I think. Because we're raised with so much love.
Love and open-minded. You're not very so quick to judge anybody. Because mm-hmm. you know what it is to be judged. So we teach you to be open-minded and to accept everybody. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. They're gay, straight, trans. Mm-hmm. You accept whoever you want to accept. If they respect you, you respect them, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, nice. So what have been some stories or experiences in your life when you were younger that have shaped the person that you are now?
Well, one of them was your mom, because the life that I was going through before in a young age was very hard. I grew up in gangs. My mom was working 2-3 jobs just to raise her kids. to make ends meet. And it was very hard for her. And I just grew up with the wrong people. And luckily, when I met your mom that day in 10th Avenue, it really changed everything around. And she changed my life and helped me out. Besides also my nephew. At the time when of all that happening, I was walking with my nephew and they ended up pulling me aside, other gang members, and they wanted to hurt me, but I told my friend to take my nephew and take him far away because I wouldn't want my mom or my sister to hating me if anything were to happen to him, and right. for him not to turn around if anything happened to me, just take him away. So when I had that and I saw your mom, like, a lot of it changed.
Yeah.
So it was good for the good, because the way I was going, either I was going to end up dead or in prison. So.
And now that's not the life that you live.
No. So I graduated college. Awesome. I graduated high school. Mm-hmm. A lot of people said I wasn't going to amount to anything, and I proved them all wrong.
Yeah.
So.
What did you go to college for?
Construction supervision assistant.
Awesome.
So I want to eventually go back and learn a little bit of real estate.
Yeah.
And then I want to open my own business here down at DRGB.
Doing construction?
I want to flip houses, buy houses,
yeah.
fix them, resell them. That's what I'm looking into.
That's really awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
This time I'm thinking of me first.
Yeah.
And not other people. Because I would always give my all to other people and... Mm-hmm. I always put myself last, and this time I'm thinking of myself first, and I'm going to do what I have to do for myself.
It's important to love yourself. Mm-hmm. As I've been talking to you, it's become very clear to me that family is important to you.
Yes.
Yeah. What, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Family is everything to me. Luckily that I've always had my mom, who's always supported me, despite the stuff that I've done to her. She's always supported me. I've always had my aunt, which is my mom's little sister, who I call her my mother number two, who's always supported me too. And I've had my best friend and my sisters that always supported me. I was very close to my family. I'm very family orientated. I love to be around kids. Kids love me. Don't ask me why.
So... I've noticed that in the Valley, a family is really important, right? Like, la familia. Can you talk a little bit about what it's been like for you in the Valley versus when you've lived other places? Because you used to live in Milwaukee,
In
Wisconsin. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, the way they were similar or different?
Well, here in the Valley, Mexicans are okay. There's a lot of Mexicans. We're not really judgmental here, okay? Gay people, there wasn't that many. Compared to Wisconsin, when they see a Mexican over there, they look at you, they stay looking at you, and looking at you like, really? We would have to go look for one store where they literally sold Mexican kind of food, because you wouldn't find it anywhere. And over there, well, you would get the looks, you would get the talks, but I don't let it bother me.
What part of Wisconsin were you in?
I went to go help with my sister, and then we worked at Berlin, Wisconsin. We were migrants. We worked with kids. Take them to class, give them to their teachers. I would stay there, help them out. And then I would go home for a bit and then come back and drop them all off.
How long did you live in Wisconsin for?
Maybe like 6-7 months. Okay. My mom and my sister did it like 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Coming and going, but... I stayed behind.
So you were there for a few months. Did you check? You know what's interesting is that I don't know much about Berlin, but in Wisconsin, but in Milwaukee, there's a huge Latino community. There's a lot of Mexicans. There's a lot of Puerto Ricans, Afro-Latinos. And there's something that's called Mexican Fiesta that happens. And there's like 30,000 Mexicans that show up and they have Tejano music. Like I saw Bobby Pulido last year. It's just like... We're everywhere in pockets, but I will say it has been difficult finding good Mexican food there for sure. I mean, my suegros make really good Mexican food, and they have a restaurant, so I'm lucky, but the other places are American.
They don't really know what fajitas is over there.
Yeah, it's different, you know, like, I think fajitas is maybe a little more Tex-Mex, but for us, it's Mexican, because that's what we grew up with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's how, so then when you moved over there, you really saw the difference between... Wisconsin and the valley.
Yes, I liked the scenery. It was a lot more beautiful, a lot more greenery.
Mm-hmm.
I liked all that. To find Dos Equis, it was hard. Like I said, I would needed to go to a Mexican little store that was only once, like maybe like 10, 15 minutes away, because that was my favorite beer at the time.
Yes.
Dos Equis with ranchas, so.
Yes, yes.
It was hard to find that beer when I was over there, so.
Yeah. And then, so like when you think about the valley, what do you think about?
The valley is big. It depends. Because a lot of people, you tell them, oh, I live in the valley. Oh, San Antonio.
No,
San Antonio is not the valley. Yeah. Sorry, people. It's not. You know that little point right there in the bottom of the tip of Mexico? Right there, that's where we live in.
Yeah.
That's the valley. But a lot of them, you tell them you live in the valley, they think it's San Antonio. They think it's Austin. And it's like, no, they don't really know what valley is, so. Mm-hmm.
What are your favorite parts about the valley? What do you love about it?
Well, to me, how I've been born and raised here all my life, that's all I really know. So when I went to Wisconsin, it was different. The food-wise was different. Like, they don't have Whataburgers over there, but they have Clubbers. Clubbers is awesome.
Culvers?
The Clubbers.
Oh, Clubbers. Culvers. Okay, yeah.
They have Clubbers, and Clubbers is awesome over there. And, like, they don't have a pato anywhere, just here in the valley. So that's another different thing. Yeah. Like, and the tortillas.
They don't have the harina out there. No.
So, you see, it's totally different.
Yeah. So, you love the food in the valley.
I love the food, and well, all my family's here.
Yeah.
I only have quite a few family that's out, like in Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, and we have some in California and Petit, Texas. But
What is your favorite taco spot here? Where do you go get tacos from?
On 5 Mile Line.
Oh, that's where it's at. 5 Mile Line.
Don Felipe's or Don Maria's. Yeah. The big baked potatoes.
And they have Mexican hot dogs on 5 Mile Line too.
The Mexican burgers.
Yes.
The ham, cheese.
Yes. People don't understand, but yeah, the tacos on 5 Mile, those are good. Yeah, everything. Okay, so do you think representation matters? And by that I mean, do you think it's important to have gay bars, gay books written by gay people, you know, gay bars run by gay people in the media, like in TV shows and stuff like that? Do you think that's important?
To me, not really. As long as they're accepting, that's all that matters.
Okay.
Like, because...
So for you, it's about acceptance. You think acceptance is important.
Yeah, because at the time when I was younger, well, all you had, like, the movie, The Monster. I love that movie. But I'm Just a Cheerleader.
Yes. Oh, my God, that movie's so good.
That movie is also good. Like, those movies I like to watch. There's this other movie that they gave, that showed us in high school. I don't remember it, but it was based on a true story of a gay guy.
Okay. They showed you that in high school?
Yeah, in that Hubs program. They showed us that movie.
What is that, the Hubs program?
It used to be like a gay community after school for people that were gay or had gay family in there, and they were okay with all that. Straight people would go there too, and we would just talk about a lot that was going on and how everything was working with all the changes and all this stuff.
And that was at Nikki Rowe. No. And who started that? Do you know, or do you know how that started?
It started, I guess, from a student. I'm not sure.
Okay. But it was there when you got to...
No, it was just opening. I was one of the first ones that was there that opened the stuff.
So y'all would meet after school?
We would meet after school.
And so you would watch movies and just talk?
No, we watched movies. They showed us that movie was based on a true story. I've been looking for that movie because I wanted to finish seeing it. They showed us that, and then we talked a lot about the community, a lot of stuff that was going on, what kind of experience we had, and if anything went on, how they could help us in other ways. So it was a lot of stuff there going on.
And how many people would go on average?
In average, there was probably maybe like, sometimes depending on the day, you could probably have like maybe 6 or maybe 10, not depend. Because at that time, there was not that many gay people that would come out. They were all very there. But when I started there, high school with my backpack, I didn't care. Like, I was in the gang life and dressing the way I would dress with dickies, Cortezes, and all dickied up, my color, my bandanas. Mm-hmm. But I also had my backpack that was gay. Mm-hmm. So it's like I had a table and you saw all the gay people sitting right there next to me and we were all just there. My best friend was there. Like,
and would people look at y'all or were they just accepting?
They would look at us. I would always constantly get jumped, but I was always getting suspended, getting in fights with guys. Mm-hmm. But it didn't matter to me. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't going to. My stepfather had always told me not to let myself, so I wasn't going to let myself. So mm-hmm. my mom had told my stepdad, well, when she gets locked up, you're going to go take her out because you're the one that's telling her, can I say hi? So yeah. I did what I did to survive.
So, and then you had your community there, like your people, and part of Hubs. What does Hubs stand for?
I'm not sure. I forgot. So long being there.
Okay.
I don't remember what it stands for.
Okay. Do you know what it stands for?
Helping Unite Gays and Straights.
Helping Unite Gays and Straights.
With Hugs.
Hugs. Oh, okay, yes. Hugs. Okay. So, right now, like I said, I'm interviewing Michelle at the McAllen Library, but I also have a really important Valley historian, Gabriel, and he just swooped in. So that's good. Anyway, that's really interesting, and I really love that because I think about at my high school that I teach at in Milwaukee, I was the gay advisor. So I ran the Gay Straight Alliance, but we call it the Queer Collective. And it's there's like we have students and we do different things. Like we go to the Pride Parade. We go see gay people talk. We make an ofrenda for Dia de los Muertos at our school. We do different things like that. And I think about what role does that play in the Valley? Because at Breeders, I don't think they have a GSA, you know? And I think we need to have more of that in high schools because, like, the way you had Hugs, you know, like, that's...
Yeah, it helped a lot because some parents are not very understanding when their kids are coming out to be gay. And they make it very hard and difficult for them. And at least they have that to go to and mm-hmm. talk to and who accepts them and knows what they're going through because they went through it and they probably went through it worse. So I think it helped a lot in the community. And it's good that a lot more schools are doing it now.
Yeah.
Because it's now a lot more open and a lot more acceptance of everything, especially of gay marriage to get married.
Yeah. What was that like for you when you found out that...
We got married.
Yeah, because growing up, did you ever think that was going to be possible?
Only upstate, but it wasn't going to count anywhere else.
Like, my mom had to get married in New York, right? Because it wasn't legal here, and then when it became legal, they got divorced, so they were probably the first gay couple to ever get divorced.
I'm right behind them. They got divorced.
That's okay. Gay people can get divorced, too. But, so... When you found out, were you like, oh my god? Like, I think when I told my mom, she was like, do you mean like everywhere, like all 50 states, like even in Texas? Like, she didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. What was it like for you? Like, what did you?
It was good. It was finally that we finally got our voice heard and everything going on, despite everything else that all we hear on the TV is the shootings of clubs and all this in gay clubs, and it's like that was a good thing that we actually got.
Yeah. I think that it's an important part of our fight, but it's not the only thing that we need, right? Like, I think there was a law that passed that said recently that, well, I mean, it's in general, gay people can still be discriminated against for their job, at being at their job just for being themselves. That's fucked up, you know? Like, you're literally going to discriminate against someone just because of their sexuality or their gender, like...
I saw that thing that they passed on, like, oh, that just made it worse.
Yeah, it's like some steps forward, some steps back, so we just need to keep on.
Luckily that my boss where I work at is very open with it. She's okay. She knows that I'm gay, and she ended up meeting my wife. So, and she knew everything I went through with all this divorce and everything, so
yeah,
she was understanding.
It's important to have people that support us.
Yes. Luckily, I've had a lot of support.
Yeah. I have one last question, or one more question. What would you tell your younger self?
My younger self?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't change anything. It's like you live and you learn, and it was a lesson learned. But you know what? That's who made me who I am now. And it wasn't for those life lessons that I've learned, I would have probably been totally different now. So I wouldn't change anything in life.